Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment. And being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? Purport. According to Bhagavad Gita 10.9, the characteristics of pure devotees are wonderful. The complete functional activities of a pure devotee are always engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the pure devotee exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, sadhana avastha. If properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, and in the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord by which a living entity is originally constituted, up to the relationship of conjugal love with the Lord, which is estimated to be the highest transcendental bliss. Thus, bhakti yoga, being the only means of God realization, is called kaivalya. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the Vedic version, Eko Narayano Devaha Paravaranam Parama Aste Kaivalya Samnitaha. This is from the 11th canto. In this connection, and establishes that Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is known as Kaivalya, and the means which enables one to approach the Lord is called the Kaivalya Pantha, or the only means of attainment of Godhead. This Kaivalya Pantha begins from Shravana, or hearing those topics that relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics, for which a devotee has no taste at all. For a devotee, all mundane activities, social and political, become unattractive, and in the mature state, such a devotee becomes uninterested even in his own body, and what to speak of bodily relatives. In such a state of affairs, one is not agitated by the waves of the material modes. There are different modes of material nature and all mundane functions in which a common man is very interested or in which he takes part becomes unattractive for the devotee. This state of affairs is described herein as Pratinivritta gunormi, and it is possible by Atma Prasada, or complete self-satisfaction, without any material connection. The first-class devotee of the Lord attains this stage by devotional service, but despite his loftiness, for the Lord's satisfaction he may play the voluntary part of a preacher of the Lord's glory and dovetail all into devotional service, even mundane interest, just to give the neophytes a chance to transform mundane interests into transcendental bliss. Srila Rupa Goswami has described this action of a pure devotee as Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Even mundane activities dovetailed with service to the Lord are also calculated to be transcendental or approved Kaivalya affairs. Om Adnyanti Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're continuing our discussion from Canto 2, Chapter 3. This particular canto is, in one sense, the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because just like when you begin a book, you have introduction. This canto culminates in the introduction of the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in the 10th chapter of this canto. And building up to those 10 topics is discussions about the means of attaining the Lord's mercy. And in this particular chapter, it is mentioned how there are so many different paths. The Jnana Marg, Vairagya Marg, Yoga Marg, and there is Bhakti Marg. And to attain the devotional service of the Lord, or to perfect oneself in devotional service of the Lord, these verses are being spoken where the Katha of the Lord, Katha means the glorious leelas and instructions. Katha is two types. Katha is either leela or it is. So either there is rasa or there is tattva in katha. If there is, actually katha has both. All katha has both, more or less. But tattva means there are some principles which are being discussed. Principles by which we should live our lives. Principles which apply to all the activities that a devotee performs. And then there is rasa. Rasa is the sweet pastimes of the Lord. So both these aspects of katha are very attractive for the devotees. And this particular verse, it says how transcendental knowledge, jnanam yad, aprati nivritta gunormi chakram. This transcendental knowledge results in two things. There are two effects of transcendental knowledge. What are the two effects of transcendental knowledge? The first effect, aprati nivritta gunormi chakram. Aprati nivritta gunormi chakram. Guna urmi. Urmi means waves. Waves and guna urmi chakra. Urmi chakra means circle. Chakra means a circle. And urmi means waves. A circle of waves. Where do you see a circle of waves? When there is? Oh, in a sink. Yes. When you turn on the faucet, then you see there's a chakra of waves. It's not really waves though. When you have a tornado, when you have a typhoon. So this katha of the Lord, can anything stop a typhoon or a tornado? Can anything, any material means stop it? Yes? What can? Oh, cloud seeding, yes. Cloud seeding has some effect, they claim. But they haven't been able to stop many tsunamis and, you know, devastating tornadoes. So yes, there may be some so-called means. But nature is, at the end of the day, very powerful. And similarly, nature in terms of its gunas is so powerful that the whirlpool, as Srila Prabhupada says, of gunas is constantly acting on us. We are living in a tornado. Could you imagine what would happen if you were in a tornado? You'd be thrown from one point to another. And that's what's happening with us. Guna urmi chakram. The transcendental knowledge of the Lord is one that can completely vanquish, finish this tornado of gunas. and we can rise above the gunas. And the second thing that will happen, so that's the side effect. What's the main effect of transcendental literature? The main effect is Atma Prasada. One feels satisfaction deep within the heart. Deep within one's heart, one feels satisfied. Atma Prasada. This is what this verse says. And then it ends with a rhetorical question. It says, Ko nirvruto harikathasu ratim nakuryat. Nirvrutaha. Nirvrutaha means one who is serious about transcendental, you know, transcending this world. Vrutaha means one who wants to go about living in this world. Nirvrutaha means one who is serious about getting out of this world. Ko nirvrutaha? What kind of a transcendentalist? Hari kathasu, in the katha of Hari. It's actually a plural. Plural meaning katha is not one, it's infinite. And hence it's plural. Hari kathasu, in the kathas of Shri Hari. Ko nirvrutaha? Hari kathasu? Ratim. Rati is attachment, love, affection, attraction. Nakuryat. So nakuryat is in the potential mood, which means who is there who would not be attracted to this Harikatha? Such is the power of Harikatha. And yet we see that so many of us, we are not feeling very much attracted to Harikatha. We take Harikatha, whenever there is Harikatha, Bhagavatam class, CC class, we take it as a God-given, Krishna-given time to relax and doze off. Srila Prabhupada in Japan, he was very, very harsh with devotees. He made them stand up in the Bhagavatam class. He said, stand up. Everyone practically was standing up. We find it difficult to read Prabhupada's books. Here it is saying, Ko nirvruto harikathasu ratim na kuryat. Who is such a transcendentalist who will not be attracted to Srila Prabhupada's books? Harikatha. And yet, why were these books written? Why did Vyasadeva compose the scriptures? Why did he compose the scriptures? So, when Vidura was banished and he met Maitreya, we find this in the third canto. When he meets Maitreya, he asks Maitreya, Maitreya and Vidura, they discuss. And there was a discussion around why or how one can associate with the Lord without the Lord being personally present. And what does Maitreya say to Vidura? He says, your dear friend Vyas is very clever. He has compiled the Mahabharata, which has many matters which seemingly are like worldly affairs. But these matters are ultimately meant to attract the reader to Bhagavad Gita. And once the reader is attracted to Bhagavad Gita, the reader will transcend and slowly rise from the material plane. So he's very clever. And Vidura tells Maitreya, Sa Shraddha Dhanasya Vivardhamana. Once the person has some faith in Harikatha, what happens? Two things happen. One, Vivardhamana viraktim anyatra karoti pumsaha. Vivardhamana means to increase. Anyatra, in other matters other than Krishna consciousness. Viraktim. Viraktim means detachment. One who reads Shastra becomes automatically detached from the things of this world. Because he is, the next point is, in this verse, Hareha Padanu Smriti Nirvratasya Nirvratasya, the same word is used. The second effect is one becomes deeply attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. So two effects. One who reads Shastra, one who is interested in Harikatha, gets detached, even Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, gets automatically detached from things of the world and becomes deeply attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. And hence the Srimad Bhagavatam we are reading, the core content of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the core content of Srimad Bhagavatam? Ashraya, yeah. Ashraya Tattva, who is Ashraya Tattva? Actually, who is the Vishaya Tattva? Anyway, technicality, let's forget that. It's Vishaya Tattva is Krishna. I'm talking from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu's point of view, but you are right. In terms of the 10 topics, the topic of Ashraya is the most important, which is surrender. So the topic of Krishna consciousness is focused in that topic of surrender, which is the 10th canto, where it discusses about the Leela of the Lord, Leela of Krishna. So in the 12th canto, Suta Goswami has given, in chapter 13, he gives the answer straight. What is this Bhagavatam? He says, Adi Madhyavasaneshu. Adi in the beginning, Madhya in the middle, Avasaneshu and in the end. In the beginning, in the middle and the end. What does Bhagavatam have? Vairagyakhyana Samyutam. It talks about how you can become detached. Detached from the things of this world. And how does it achieve that? How does Bhagavatam achieve that? By describing what? It says, Hari Leela Katha Varta. Hari Leela Katha Varta. Mrtanandita Satsuram. That Hari Leela Katha and Varta, which gives bliss, Anandita Satsuram, which gives bliss to the devotees. So this Bhagavatam is completely, in its entirety, full of Hari Leela. Even the second canto, which might be very technical, and the fifth canto, which is description of the creation, everything is Hari Leela. The 10 topics of Bhagavatam are the 10 Leelas of the Lord. And why did Srila Prabhupada? So we understood why Vyasadeva composed the Shastra, or compiled the Shastra. Why did Srila Prabhupada write his books? So Srila Prabhupada writes in a letter, 19th of March 75 in Bombay, he says, actually anyone who tries to understand these books will become a great realized devotee of Lord Krishna gradually. The original potency of the Shastra remains in these books because I have not added or opinionated anything of my own. I have simply presented the scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam as they are. Therefore, just see the effect they have on the world. And yet we do not feel attracted to Harikatha. We do not feel like reading Prabhupada's books. And once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what happens after we have read all your books? What happens then? What should we read? And Srila Prabhupada said, it will take you a lifetime to read all my books. There is enough material, he said. Another time he said, your disease is that you want newer and newer. You have one house, you want another house. You have one wife, you don't like her, you want another wife. You don't like this food, you want another food. So everything, you want newer and newer. That is your disease, Prabhupada said. You are in one location, now you want to go somewhere else. So, we see that even in Mahaprabhu's time, there were people who had their own imaginary ways of understanding the Shastra in newer and newer ways, in their own imaginary ways. One such person was Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam who would give imaginary explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today is Devananda Pandit's disappearance day. So he would give these imaginary explanations of Bhagavatam, and once Srivas Thakur happened to be passing by when Devananda Pandit along with his disciples was discussing these newer and newer imaginary explanations. So those who are interested in these newer and newer things, they cannot appreciate what Prabhupada has given, what a pure devotee has given. So they want to read this book and that book and this thing and that thing. So Devananda Pandit was like that. He was reading so many things and he was trying to understand Bhagavatam by reading so many other non-devotional things also. But Srivas Pandit, who was a great devotee, when he came there, he could understand the true purport of Bhagavatam, and he felt so ecstatic, not by hearing what explanation was being given by Devananda Pandit, but by hearing the original Sanskrit text. He felt so ecstatic, he started rolling on the ground, crying, howling, in ecstasy. And these disciples of Devananda Pandit, they thought, oh, who is this person? Who is this ruffian who's creating so much disturbance? Throw him out. So Devananda Pandit didn't ask him to be thrown out, but his disciples lifted him and literally threw him out. And Devananda Pandit saw what happened, but he did not protest. This was before Mahaprabhu's advent. But when Mahaprabhu understood and found this out, he said, Devananda Pandit is useless. He doesn't know Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he uses so many, he reads so many things, does not read what is pure. And so he banished. He didn't want to meet Devananda Pandit. It was only when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And once Devananda Pandit happened to visit Kuliagram, where he saw Vakreshwar Pandit, who was a dear associate of Mahaprabhu. Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing in ecstasy to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And as he was dancing in ecstasy, Devananda Pandit got so attracted to his dancing. He tried to protect him, Vakreshwar Pandit, from being disturbed by the crowd. So he was managing, he was doing crowd management. He was keeping the crowd, you know, away from Vakreshwara, who was dancing. And just this little service to Vakreshwara, just this little service of crowd management, yeah, made Devananda Pandit eligible to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy. And he surrendered to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu then embraced him and said, now you will understand the real purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are trying to understand so many things in life. How is our life working? What is this pandemic? How are things happening in this world? But we do not wish to read Prabhupada's books, unfortunately. I was in Hungary in His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj's sort of, well, I like to call it his headquarters, kind of, you know, where he's based. Very beautiful. It's a mesmerizing place. And I was with one of his very dear senior disciple, and I said, what does Maharaj ask everyone? Because Maharaj was talking to all the devotees one by one. And this was in his room. Maharaj was in his room, and devotees were going in. And what is one thing that Maharaj asks everyone? So Maharaj, I'm sure, asks so many things about the devotees. But what is one thing that he asks? And this devotee told me, most of the time Maharaj is interested in knowing what is that devotee reading? What book of Prabhupada is he reading? And that particular devotee, he's Hungarian, he said, Maharaj told me once, after you've given a class, you go around and ask everyone, what are you reading? What book of Srila Prabhupada are you reading? And it's very important that we have that attraction for the books, reading of those books. Going back 25 years, 1996 was a very big, important year. 1996 was centennial year, and I'll share something with you. So I was living in the Juhu temple at that time with the brahmacharis. And we were working for the Bhaktivedanta Institute. And one brahmachari, he was a statistician, and I love statistics. I'm an engineer by training, so I love mathematics, statistics. So I told that brahmachari, we should do something interesting for the BI, for Bhaktivedanta Institute is all about science and synthesis of science and religion. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, we went and met him, and Damodar Maharaj said, yeah, you should do something statistical. Do a statistical presentation. So we thought it'd be nice because they were just about to launch the Masters in Consciousness course from the BI, international course. So we thought it'd be nice to go around the devotee community and find out who would be interested in this course. But then this brahmachari, I don't want to name him, he's actually no longer there, probably in the ashram there, but we thought we'll slip in some other questions in the survey. We thought we'd do a survey. So we surveyed initiated devotees who were doing regular service for at least 2 hours a week, regular service. It was a blind survey, which means we did not tell them that they were participating in a survey. We would just ask them some questions as if we're casually talking to them. But after the survey was done and compiled, we did tell them that we have used the data you gave anonymized, as in we've not used your name, but we've used your information in the data. And most of them agreed, only 3 did not agree. So we sampled 316 devotees from 18 nationalities, 18 nationalities. So there were devotees from, in Juhu you have, it's an international temple. So devotees from everywhere. The ages of the devotees were between 21 and 63. And they were all initiated between 3 and 20 years. Minimum 3 years after initiation and maximum 20 years. And the survey was conducted by me and him March 1995 to July 1996. So 25, 26 years ago, yeah. So that data is old. It may not be true currently, but I want to share this and I want to ask you a question. A few questions we slipped in illegally in the survey were about the devotees reading Prabhupada's books. And how many devotees do you think did not systematically, so of the population I spoke about, how many devotees in percentage terms do you think did not read Srila Prabhupada's books systematically or regularly? Any guesses? 50-60% did not read Prabhupada's books regularly or systematically. Now, I'll define regularly. Regularly means they read every day or twice a week or once a week, but they read regular. And systematic means they don't just, all right, I feel inspired to read, and they turn a page and read. Not like that. They're reading systematic from first page, from introduction onwards, like, you know, or they are part of some sangha which is doing systematic study and they are reading themselves. So like that. So how many devotees, percentage terms, did not read systematically or regularly? Yes. 80%. 90%. Okay. Anyone else? Huh? Yeah, our survey, and we were running so many programs. In Juhu, it's a huge preaching center. So many systematic preaching programs go on. And yet we found 91%, 287 devotees. 91%. So that's 9 out of 10 devotees do not read Prabhupada's books systematically or regularly. When was the last time you read Srila Prabhupada's book? Don't raise your hand. Raise your hand in your mind. Or try and ask yourself systematically. There was another question. How many did not read anything, as in, when I say anything means Prabhupada's books, in the past 3 to 6 months? Of the population we are talking, initiated devotees, yeah? Who are doing service, they may be pujaris, they may be whoever, even preachers. We also included preachers. There were preachers who would give Bhagavatam class, but they would just read that purport on that day and just give a class based on whatever they have heard or read someday, somewhere in the past. How many have not read in 3 to 6 months, percentage terms, anyone? 80%? So our data suggested 83% not read anything in 3 to 6 months. How many had not read anything in past 3 to 5 years? What do you think? Yes, David. 35%. He's very precise. 35%. Well, it was better than that. Well, it was worse than that, actually. Sorry. It was worse than that, not better. It was worse than that. It was 47%. Nearly 50%. Nearly half the devotees. There would be regular pujaris. There would be preachers. There would be prasadam distributors. There would be book distributors. There would be, you know, doing so many services. But they have not touched Prabhupada's books in about 3 to 5 years. Then we did something called as trend charting. Trend charting means it gives you a trend of how, you know, things are going in terms of years, how things improve or things go down. And I don't want to bore you with too much information here, but there are two trend charts which are quite revealing. The first was, the trend chart showed, based on their data that we collected, that the longer they were initiated, the lesser they read. And the other was, the longer they were initiated, the less enthusiastic and more critical they were. And this is a general trend. So it's not, it does not apply to everyone. General trend. And we then had a beautiful paper with conclusion. It never got published, by the way, because of so many reasons. And it's good. But I stumbled upon it because this is 125th year of Prabhupada's appearance. And I thought I'll go back to my centennial, you know, paperwork. We had so many things. I have so many things collected from that time. So I was going through the old files and notebooks and I found this unpublished paper. It's only 16 pages long, the actual survey and the results. It's very scientifically presented with charts and stuff. Maybe somebody can make good use of it, but yeah. So top three, then we asked them, what are the top three excuses for not reading Prabhupada's books? The first was that they had a reason. First excuse was there was some reason given. Most common reason, I don't have time. Another reason, I do not have a taste. I'm not a reader. Another reason, I'm not intellectual. I'm not very intelligent. I'm a simple devotee, Prabhu. We were speaking to one very sweet Bengali Mataji. I mean, it could have been a Gujarati Mataji, but yeah. And she just said, I'm a simple devotee, I don't read. Because I'm a simple devotee, I don't read. So all reasons. Another devotee said, I'm happy to do service. Another said, I like to hear, I don't like to read. And another one said, I make sure that I distribute 300 Bhagavad Gitas during December marathon. But I don't read, I've never read Bhagavad Gita. So Rishabdev, he tells his sons in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 5, verse number 1, 551. What does he say? Rishabha uvacha, nayam deho deha bhajam driloke. This body is not meant for living like, well, it goes on to say vid bhujamye, which means living like the animal who eats stool. Who eats stool? Vid bhuja literally means one who enjoys and relishes stool. Vid means stool, and bhuja means one who enjoys, one who will fight for it. That's a pig or a hog. Vid bhuj. Kashtan kaman arhate vid bhujamye. Our lives are not meant to struggle and to just fulfill our desires. Krishna consciousness does not mean you go on doing what you were doing. Just sprinkle some Krishna on top and you'll go back to Godhead. It's not that cheap. It's not that cheap. Krishna says, Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Chapter 18, verse 66, Bhagavad Gita. It's not that cheap. You have to pay the price. So, tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. Do tapasya, divya tapasya. My dear children, Rishabdev says, do divya tapasya. Shuddhyed yasmat brahma saukhyam tvanantam. And then you will have the bliss of the spiritual world. If you do tapasya. When Prabhupada was giving class in Vrindavan on this verse, very beautiful. He says, he could have said, you do tapasya of any kind, right? Prabhupada could have said, Rishabdev is asking you to do tapasya of any kind, but Prabhupada says this. He says, if you simply take little trouble to understand Krishna, that tapasya is required. To read Krishna's instruction, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and try to understand Krishna. Because that tapasya, if you take a little pain, and then Prabhupada pauses and he says, it is not painful, it is very pleasing. But we avoid it. We think it is painful. Ah, Prabhupada's mimicking. He says, ah, who is going to read these books? We are meant for selling books, not for reading books. Prabhupada is saying this in the class. This is not good. We should read also. That is tapasya. You don't have time. You don't like to read. You have so many services. You like to hear but not read. You have all these reasons. Prabhupada says, put those reasons aside. Do this tapasya of reading. He says we should read also, that is tapasya. That is tapasya. Twice he says. Don't think that simply our books are meant for selling. No. It is meant for reading also. If we read regularly, at least 2 hours, 3 hours, that is tapasya. Lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam, 551, Vrindavan, October 23rd, 1976. In fact, in the 7 purposes of ISKCON, do you know what is our movement, ISKCON movement? The 7 purposes Prabhupada stated. So, is our movement a charity? Is our movement a social movement? Is our movement a spiritual movement? Is it a revivalist movement? Is it a, what kind of a movement is this? At its core, what is the movement, ISKCON movement? Anyone? Huh? Education. Yes. Srila Prabhupada said, this is an educational movement. Have you been to any educational institute which has no books? Which has no instructions? Prabhupada said many times, books are the basis of our movement. He did not mean they should be sold only. He meant they should be sold and they should be read. Because in the 7 purposes of ISKCON, the first purpose, he says, is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate. That's the first purpose. And the 7th and the last purpose is to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So both. We are smashing the records year on year for book distribution. And you know what? We should do even more. Absolutely do even more. But we should also smash our records of reading Prabhupada's books year on year. Both. Book distribution is extremely important. And we should multiply. Like Prabhupada, he would say, just double it. So yeah, if we could, we should just double it. Year on year, double it. But we should double our efforts to read those books as well. Some others, the second most common reason for not reading Prabhupada's books was, I cannot understand them. Many devotees said, I don't read because I can't understand. And Srila Prabhupada says, in my books, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is explained fully. So if there is anything which you do not understand, then you simply have to read again and again. By reading daily, the knowledge will be revealed to you. And by this process, your spiritual life will develop. Letter to Bahurupa, Bombay, 22nd November, 1974. And you see, the effect of reading again and again will be very gradual. You will not understand. You will not probably understand immediately. But there will be a gradual effect. I'll tell you a beautiful pastime. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a very dear brahmachari disciple who was having a gastric problem. Anything he ate would come out. Anything, even water. So he had a dysentery. Dysentery in those days was very common in India. Dysentery means you go to the toilet every 5 minutes. So you lose all the fluids in your body and you could practically die. So, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples, please take this brahmachari to the Ayurvedic doctor, to Kaviraj. Kaviraj means Ayurvedic doctor. So the disciples took this brahmachari to the doctor. The doctor said, okay, give him this particular powder, which is a herbal concoction, and make sure he takes at least 250 milliliters of ghee. Now, somebody who knows a little bit about, you know, loose motions or having upset stomach, you don't want to, the last thing you want to do is have butter, ghee, Because it's just going to aggravate it, right? So, the brahmacharis were really confused. They said, oh, tumi ki bolcho, Kaviraj? What are you saying, Kaviraj? Amra ta karte parina, we cannot do that. She morabe, he will die. They were just, you know, they said, no, we cannot do it. This Kaviraj, the doctor said, okay, speak to your guru. Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada, speak to him. So they went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, we cannot feed him ghee, make him drink ghee when he's having, you know, stomach upset. Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur said, simply do it. Now listen carefully. This brahmachari, when he started drinking ghee along with that medicine, instead of going or using the toilet every 5 minutes, he started using toilet every 3 minutes. And then every minute, and then he didn't come out for many hours. And when he would come out, he had to be dragged out. And Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur said, okay, it is time. Feed him some ghee. They fed him more ghee. And in 3-4, so it became worse, but in 3-4 days he started gradually reviving. And after 1 week he was normal, absolutely fine. It was miraculous. So they asked Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada, how did this happen? We know ghee is actually not good for your stomach. Well, when you have dysentery, it's not good. Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur spoke these words. He said, initially when he drank ghee, his stomach could not take it, could not absorb anything. But because you kept giving him ghee, slowly the lining of the stomach was rebuilt. And slowly the body started absorbing. The lining was rebuilt and he started absorbing the ghee. And he started becoming fitter and fitter. And Siddhant Sarasvati Thakur said, similarly, when one hears me speak, or when one hears or reads our books, they may not understand anything. But if they continue hearing, continue reading, slowly and slowly, gradually, it will be absorbed. And one will revive one's Krishna consciousness. And the third most important reason devotees gave, well, they gave 10 reasons, we will only cover 3. The third reason they gave for not reading Prabhupada's books is, we cannot read them because we cannot remember anything. I remember, I read so much, I don't remember anything. So, why read when you can't remember? This is one of the reasons that is given. It reminds me of one story which appears in one of the Puranas. I think it is in Brahma Purana or Brahma Vaivarta Purana, one of them. The story goes something like this. There was a disciple who went to his guru and he said, Guru Maharaj, I have a question. I am not able to retain any of your instructions. You've given so many wonderful instructions and you keep giving me your sermons, every day, but I cannot retain anything. I cannot remember anything. So please help me. So Guru Maharaj said, okay, I'll help you. Guru Maharaj went inside his hut and he brought a pot. And he told this disciple, go and fill this pot with water. Go and fill this pot with water and you will have your answer of how to remember, how to retain. The only problem was the pot had 100 holes. Big holes, not small holes, big holes. So the disciple said, okay. So he went to the well, he drew water with a pot. What would happen? All the water would go out of the holes. He tried doing it so many times and frustrated, he came back to the Guru and said, Guru Maharaj, you cannot fill this pot with water because the pot has 100 holes. So Guru Maharaj said, I will show you how you can fill it with water. He took the pot and the disciple with him on the banks of a lake, and he tossed the pot in the lake. And he told the disciple, now you see, the pot is full of water. So, what was the lesson? The lesson was, if you don't remember anything, it doesn't matter. Just remain absorbed in the katha of the Lord. Ko hari kathasu ratim na kuryat. Just remain absorbed. Actually, we think the goal is to remember everything we read. We are missing the point. Kardama Muni, when he prays to Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, he prays this. Lokamscha lokanugatam pashumscha hitva shrutaste charanatapatram. I'm not going to translate that because it's a beautiful verse, by the way. Parasparam tvad gunavada sidhu. So I'll focus on this line. This harikatha is like sidhu. Sidhu means intoxicant, like a drug. Piyusha nirya pita deha dharma. And it is like nectar, piyusha. This harikatha of the Lord has two qualities. It is like an intoxicant, it is like nectar. You know, those who take drugs of whatever variety or are into alcohol, you know, the sense of taking is not very nice. It's not very wonderful to take drugs. It's difficult to take them. But you do get intoxicated, and then once you revive, you come crashing down. But the harikatha of the Lord is the opposite. You will love to take it. It is piyusha. But at the same time, you'll remain intoxicated. It is a sidhu. This is the only verse in Bhagavatam where harikatha is described like this, having two qualities of an intoxicant and of nectar at the same time. So what is the aim of one who is recommended an intoxicant? Is it to remember the intoxicant? Or is it to become addicted? What is the goal? The goal is to become addicted. The goal is not to remember Harikatha. That was never the goal. By the by, if you remember, that is very nice. But just be addicted to Harikatha. So we should read Prabhupada's books, because here the Bhagavatam verse is Ko Nirvritaha. Who is that transcendentalist? Harikathasu Ratim Nakuryat. Who will not be attracted to Harikatha of the Lord? Who is that devotee in the transcendental movement of Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON, who will not read Srila Prabhupada's books? It is a must. And if we don't do it, then of all things, we are directly going against Srila Prabhupada's own instructions. He instructed us to read his books. We all know we are reading Madhya Leela at the moment, on the weekends. And I don't think we've reached the episode of the illiterate Brahmana. It'll come in the next few months, where the illiterate Brahmana, he's reading Bhagavad Gita upside down. He's reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down, and he's crying tears of love while reading it. And Mahaprabhu asks him, everyone is mocking him. All the passers-by are mocking him. But Mahaprabhu asks him, why are you sobbing? And the illiterate Brahmana says, you know, he talks about his realization. And then Mahaprabhu says, you have the adhikar to understand the true meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Tumar adhikar, that is your adhikar. So tell me this, what was it that attracted Mahaprabhu to this Brahmana and that made Mahaprabhu embrace, alingana, embrace this Brahmana, the illiterate Brahmana? What was it? Yes, Prabhu. He was crying. So his devotional sentiment, is that attracting? Yes. Fixed on Guru. Yes. Yes. His honesty. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 9, verse 98, the answer is given. Biprokohe murkho ami shabdartho no jani. Biprakohe murkha ami shabdartha na jani. The illiterate Brahmana said, I am a stupid fool. I don't understand the meaning of any of these words. However, Shuddha Shuddha Gita Pori Guru Adnya Mani. Shuddha Shuddha Gita Pori Guru Adnya Mani. However, I am reading properly or improperly, I am reading Gita because my Guru has asked me to read. And that made him eligible to, that following the instruction of Guru made him eligible to experience devotional ecstasy, because of which he was crying. And that devotional ecstasy plus him following the instruction of his guru is what made him eligible to receive an embrace of the Lord. And what is Srila Prabhupada's instruction? Read my books. We want to be embraced by Krishna, and it won't happen if we don't follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 25, text 278 purport, Prabhupada says, all the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books. Sorry, the emphasis is not that I'm creating the emphasis. Must read all the books that have been translated. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, very important. Otherwise, and this Prabhupada didn't say in a lecture or in a letter to someone, he puts this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the purport, for everyone to read. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. If we do not read all the books. So, you see, what enchanted us, what attracted us to come to Krishna consciousness is the same thing that will elevate us. That which attracted, enchanted us is what will elevate us. So some of us might say, actually I came to Krishna consciousness because, you know, I like the prasadam. But what is prasadam? Prasadam is food offered to Krishna, which is our philosophy. So in one sense, you were attracted to the philosophy, which is in Prabhupada's books. Somebody may say, no, actually, I was attracted to the wild dancing in the kirtan. Okay, what is this wild dancing in the kirtan? Where does that come from? It comes from our philosophy, which is in our books. So you are attracted to the philosophy. Others may say, actually, I'm just attracted to the beautiful people. They're so friendly. I'm not attracted to philosophy. Well, why are they beautiful people? Why are they so attractive? Because they follow the philosophy. So you're attracted to the philosophy. We cannot take the philosophy of Krishna consciousness out of the devotees, the deities. Somebody might say, I'm attracted to the ISKCON movement because of the deities, not because of anything else. But why do we serve the deities like this? And why is this attractive? Because Prabhupada taught us this way. That's our philosophy. So you are attracted to the philosophy. So that which has attracted us and brought us to Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in all its aspect, is the same thing which will keep us, is the same thing which will elevate us. And hence, I would really like to see these statistics change. And I hope they have changed in these 25 years. And we were very disheartened. Me and the brahmachari who did this survey. Because we see that some, and I'll qualify this by the word some, not every, some initiated devotees are committed to do seva for endless hours, but they struggle to follow the basic vows of chanting and the four regulative principles, which they committed in front of the deities, the guru and the Vishnavas. We see kirtaniyas who chant such melodious kirtans, but they struggle to chant their own rounds. We see pujaris who are so, you know, so much attracted and affectionately and lovingly serve the Lord, but they struggle to serve the devotees of the Lord, who the Lord loves. So these things, we see prasadam distributors. They distribute prasadam wholeheartedly. They feed the world, but they struggle to feed their own soul. They feel empty inside. We see preachers who are giving big sermons, sitting on the Vyasasana and speaking, trying to transform the hearts of others. But they struggle with their own hearts, with the hypocrisy and the anarthas in their own hearts. We see book distributors who are so enthusiastically giving books out to others. They are in love with the books, only distributing them. But they struggle to find the same love for the same books, to read them. So the great transformation, the great revival will happen if we can recommit and rejuvenate our desire to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, right at the very beginning, in the second canto, even before the main topics of Bhagavatam began, the main topics of Bhagavatam began in the third, they start in the third canto. In the second canto, it says, this divine knowledge which is in Prabhupada's books, Jnanam yad apratinivritta gunormi chakram, this chakra of gunas, that we are all, the whirlpool of gunas that we are all being tossed in, is completely finished. If we surrender to these books, to this divine knowledge, atma prasada, and we'll be self-satisfied. We find some leaders who are meant to be enthusiastically leading the community lack enthusiasm themselves. And Many have spoken to me in confidence. Why? We need to recommit reading of Srila Prabhupada's books. And there will be enthusiasm. There will be happiness. Because the guarantee is given right here. Atma prasada. One will feel fulfilled. Kaivalya sammata pathaha. This path has been followed by this kaivalya, this transcendental path. Prabhupada writes in the purport, sammata pathaha. Sammata means have been approved. Prabhupada uses the word in the purport. Has been approved. This is an approved path, which will have no failure. If we read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's an approved path. Kaivalya sammata pathaha. Tvatha bhakti yogaha. And through this path one attains bhakti yoga. Even after knowing so much. Ko nivrito, who is that transcendentalist? Harikatha suratim na kuryat, who is not interested in harikatha, who is not interested in reading these transcendental literature. So with this I'll stop, I'll take a few questions, maybe one question. But I really wish that we can start systematically reconnecting to Srila Prabhupada's books and change those statistics for everyone who is doing so many wonderful services. And I wonder, before I end, I just want to beg for forgiveness and pay my obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. If I've spoken anything, I've only spoken with the purpose of encouraging everyone and not with the purpose of instructing. But sometimes something like this must be said. So I beg for forgiveness. Vanchakalpadarubhyascha kripasindhubhyavacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namahama. But let us all recommit ourselves to distribute more and more books, do better and better pujari service, distribute more prasadam, clean the temple sparkling clean. We love cleaning the temple. But also, let's reconnect with Srila Prabhupada's books. As Shivaram Maharaj would say, what have you read today? You know, we should, I like that. Okay, thank you, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Could anyone has any questions, comments or corrections? Please, yeah.
I want to say something, but this is not... what I want to say is not an excuse, because luckily under the instructions of senior devotees and their help, you know, I do read regularly and systematically, but I was just thinking that if it is a must, if it's, you know, like you say, it's so important, why is it not made as part of the initiation vow? You know, would it not be easier if it was part of the
vow? Yeah, why is it not made as part of the initiation vows? Well, you can certainly make that recommendation.
Hare Krishna.
And I think at least many will... will support you. There are many things that are not... for example, we don't take a vow when we take initiation that we will pay obeisances to the deities. We don't take a vow. It's meant to be done. We don't take a vow that we will only have prasadam. We only say we'll not have meat, we'll not have fish, we'll not have eggs, we'll not have even onion garlic. But we don't take a vow that, oh well, it doesn't mean we'll go to the local store and restaurant and eat. No, we meant to offer prasadam. So what is the process? We don't take vow of every single aspect of the process. But yes, you're right, I'm not personally.
What I meant is that, you know, some people use that as an excuse.
That I have not taken a vow, but then they have not taken
not,
a...
It's not part of it.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
It is, you know, I'm doing, you know, my rounds.
Yeah.
And I don't need to read, you know.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. It's simply unfortunate if they take that excuse. Because Srila Prabhupada has been very clear in so many places. In fact, chant the rounds and not read. I was in Soho Street with Jayadvaita Maharaj, and there were four of us together. And in, you know, just above the temple hall, the second floor, Soho Street, they call it the seminar room. So I was there with Jayadvaita Maharaj, and there were three other devotees, myself. And we were just having a casual discussion with Maharaj. And one of those devotees asked Maharaj, he said, "Maharaj, I would like to understand how I can improve my chanting. Because I love to chant and I want to improve my chanting. Because Prabhupada said that 99% of our spiritual progress depends on chanting." As soon as this devotee said that, Jayadvaita Maharaj said, and I'm naming him because I witnessed it myself, Jayadvaita Maharaj said, "Stop. Where does it say 99% of your spiritual life depends on chanting?" And then the devotee said, "Maharaj, Prabhupada said that." "No, where did Prabhupada say that? Can you get me the quote? I've read all of Prabhupada's books, I've listened to all of his classes, I've read all of his..." I'm not saying myself, Maharaj said that he's read all of the lectures, classes. He said, "I've not found that anywhere. There are so many things people say, Prabhupada said. Where is it said?" And then Jayadvaita Maharaj was making a point. He said, "But what about what Prabhupada did say? Prabhupada did say, books are the foundation of our movement. Prabhupada did say, don't only distribute my books, but read them. Prabhupada did say, cultivate Vaishnava qualities." So Prabhupada did say these things. Yeah. So actually, Jayadvaita Maharaj did not answer the question at all. You know, Jayadvaita Maharaj is very sharp. He didn't answer the question at all about chanting, how to improve the chanting. He just said, "Well, are you doing those things? Are you doing all those things?" And then he said, "Your chanting will improve." At the end he said, "If you do these things, your chanting will improve." So when you mention, somebody takes an excuse saying, "I'm chanting my rounds and that's the vow I took." But then we say, "Dear devotee, you did not take a vow that you will eat prasadam. That means you can eat anything. You did not take a vow that you'll pay obeisances. That means when you come to the temple. You didn't take a vow to come to the temple. That means you may not come to the temple. You didn't take vow about so many things which are part of the process." So it's a very unfortunate excuse. And any excuse is a bad excuse.
Thank you, Prabhu. And I know at least of two purposes of Prabhupada, that he equates the chanting and reading.
Yes. He did. Prabhupada did say that, in fact, one of the classes Prabhupada did say that if you, not everyone is very studious, Prabhupada used the word. He said, not everyone is very studious. And therefore there is an alternative way, which is chanting Hare Krishna. But with all statements of Prabhupada, they have to be taken in a particular context. And those few isolated statements of Prabhupada have to be taken in the context of when it was spoken and how and to whom it was spoken. It was spoken to those preachers who had no other time other than just, you know, doing the, what was that, the bus party called? Radha Damodar. So they were in the Radha Damodar bus party. They were just doing that service and chanting the rounds. And they said, "Prabhupada, we discussed, but we don't have time to focus and read." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, that's okay. But it doesn't mean we..." In fact, there are other quotes in which Prabhupada says, "Whenever I find time, I read my books," he says. "Whenever I find time." And let's forget all of that. Bhagavatam is right here in front of us saying, "Ko nivrittaha." Who is that transcendentalist? Who is that ISKCON devotee who wants to go back to Godhead? This is what Bhagavatam is saying. "Ko nivrittaha." Who is that ISKCON devotee who wants to go back to Godhead? "Hari kathasu." In Prabhupada's books, ratim, attraction for reading, na kuryat, will not have. Who is that ISKCON devotee? Actually, it means this. I'm not making it up. I can actually substantiate with proper grammar and technicalities. It actually says this. So, very important. We're not saying do one or the other. Chant, but don't read. Or read, but don't chant. No. If you read, you will chant. Because it will tell you to chant. We're not saying do one or the other. We're not saying don't distribute books. No, double it every year. But double your commitment to read every year. And that is what Prabhupada says. So thank you for your comments, Mother. Hare Krishna. All right. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that Prabhupada said that it would take at least one lifetime to read.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Prabhupada said it would take at least one lifetime to read all of his books. So I guess then the question arises, to what extent, if at all, should we be reading books that are not written by Prabhupada, other translations, commentaries, etc., because there are so many of them, and they're all, you know, on the market in ISKCON, and they're I find them a bit of a distraction.
Two aspects to your question. One is, Prabhupada said it will take a lifetime to read all my books, and then connected with that you're saying, and hence there are so many books available, Acharya's commentaries, so many devotees' realizations, so many other books, ISKCON books available. So to what extent should we read those books? It's a nice question. It's a very good question. I would recommend you to go to Vaisheshika Prabhu's website. He has given a scheme by which you can create a goal and different goals. For example, if you want to read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, including the purports, and you want to finish it in 1 year, he tells you how you can do it. If you want to do it in 3 years, he tells you how you can do it. So he's done all the calculations of what and how much and how many minutes you need to read to achieve that. So actually you could, without being unreasonable with your lifestyle, if you can put aside 2 hours, you can read all of Prabhupada's books in 5 years. If you're committed. So that's the first part of your question. The second part, there are so many books which are written, which actually those books are written following Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada said, I want all my disciples to write. Prabhupada said, I only do 3 things when I have free time. I read, I chant, and there's a quote. I'm telling you from Prabhupada's quote. You can find it on Vedabase or somewhere on the internet or whatever. He does 3 things, he said, when he's free. He says, when I'm free, I read, I chant, and I write. And he said, I want all my disciples to write. And so disciples, all sannyasis, grihasthas, all kinds of disciples of Prabhupada, and grand disciples of Prabhupada for that matter, have written books which are extension of their own realizations, which are, there are beautiful books that I've read. But I've read Srimad Bhagavatam X number of times, cover to cover. Bhagavad Gita, so many Y number of times. And then I have read other literature. So the answer is one should do both. But one should certainly not substitute. The problem is if we substitute Prabhupada's books for some other literature. And even worse, if we substitute Prabhupada's books for some mundane inspirational literature. I know, I went to see one devotee, he's currently reading about Zen Buddhism and how he can focus his mind so that he can chant better. His purpose is he wants to learn how to chant better. So I said, well, if you want, we can discuss Harinam Chintamani and, you know, you will get better things than Zen Buddhism there. And he was not so convinced, unfortunately. He's reading Zen Buddhism and he's been reading that for about 1.5-2 years. He's a devotee, he comes to temple, he chants, he does pujari service, he's on the altar, so many things. But please don't make any guesses. But and he's a sweet devotee. I pay hundreds of obeisances to him. But what I suggest is this. Here it is saying, Ko nivritta hari katha suratim na kuryat. If we are transcendentalists, why don't we take rati? Why don't we have love for this literature which Prabhupada has given? First, let's do that first. If you have exhausted all literature, you thirst for more, read what ISKCON devotees and bona fide devotees in our movement have written. If you have exhausted all of that, yeah, just to embellish and for the purposes of preaching, you may read some other things. Prabhupada read newspaper every day. Not because he was interested in the gossip. Prabhupada said, I'm not interested in society talk. He said, I'm interested in being aware of what is going on so that I can use that for preaching. So if there's a purpose, we may read something. It's not like we are fanatics or some, you know, crazy people sitting in a box. That's not what we are. Isolated completely. But yeah, there has to be a purpose. I hope it makes sense. Prabhupada's books should be read, and other books are equally, you know, should. I've read, for example, every book of Shivaram Maharaj. I've read all of Sachinanda Maharaj's books. I've read Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's books. I've read even Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's books, all of his books, including the life of Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which I love very much. That book is very powerful. But those books have not substituted or hasn't taken my time out of reading Prabhupada's books. Well, many of us don't read at all. If I go by the statistics, 5 out of 10 devotees you speak to, or 1 out of 2 devotees you speak to, has not read Prabhupada's books in between 3 to 5 years. That has to change. Okay, I will not take any more time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samvet Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Bol.